greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter. And I'm going to read from the first chapter, from verse 30 to the fifth verse of chapter 2. So again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 30, and then reading down to the fifth verse of chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 1, we'll begin reading from verse 30, and we read as follows in the name of our Lord. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you again this morning for your word. And oh, Father, we pray this morning that indeed it would be your word that is heard, that the ears of these listeners this morning and my ears as well would be opened up to this word and to our need. So, Father, reveal yourself unto us again through this your word and sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. I'm often impacted by hymns. As you know, I quote them quite often from the pulpit. But this morning, as I was driving in to the office, or driving here to the church, I should say, and considering where I would preach from, it has been a busy week, and I haven't really spent a lot of time in study, to be quite honest with you. I've done a lot of reading, but I haven't done a lot of study. And I was thinking, as I was driving in, I turned the radio on, and my radio station was set at 102.7. Most of you, of course, know that radio station here. And in the morning, they play a lot of songs, and this particular hymn began to play, and it struck me, because it's a very familiar hymn for all of us, I believe, and the hymn goes like this: I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. And you know, I don't know how one ever explains to an individual this type of need, but boy, does one ever feel it in their hearts. And my desire this morning is simply again to ask you a question and also to proclaim unto you the one need that you have over and above everything else. You need this one. You see, to sing songs like we do, a lot of the songs we sung this morning, even some of the lyrics in those songs were quite powerful. But this song keeps ringing over and over and over in my mind as I live out my life in this world. I don't just need Jesus on Sunday morning when I proclaim the message, or when I go off and visit somebody in the hospital, or wherever else it might be in my daily ministry duties. I need him every hour. In fact, every moment of my life, I need my Savior. And you see, this is what really became clear and evident to me as I was driving into the church this morning. This is what I need. And I thought, well, you know, if I need him so desperately, with all of my fiber, with every bit of my being, I need this Savior, then so don't they. The people that I minister to in sermon, Sunday after Sunday, as I preach the Word of God, need this same Savior as well. You see, because as you live out your life in this world, you deal with a lot of things. You deal with sickness, you deal with pain, you deal with doubt, you deal with finances, you deal with politics, you deal with children, you deal with teachers, you deal with grades, homework, you know, you just name it. There's all kinds of things that we deal with as we live out our lives in this world. Traffic, of course, that's not a real big thing in this area, I suppose. I need Jesus. You see, that's what I need. I need him. Sometimes I don't want him, but I need him. I need him desperately. When I find myself tempted to sin, tempted to do something that I know is wrong according to the Word of God, sometimes I don't want him in that moment. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? I think you do. Because you're human just like I am. And that temptation or that sin that is sitting before you, whatever it might be, it begins to draw you in such a way that suddenly you think, well, you know, in the back of your mind, there's this prayer. And sometimes for me, there's even scripture that begins to flow through my mind of all the word that I have read and the songs that I have sung across my years of living. And yet there's this temptation that begins to draw me, allure me, pull me. And I want to kind of ignore those things that I have learned from my childhood up and in my studies of the Scripture. And I'm ashamed to admit that there are times when I fall. I'm ashamed to admit this morning that as a sinner saved by grace, very often when those temptations come and I'm tempted to do something that is against God's word, I find myself doing it. And you see, my friends, this is what makes this song so powerful. Because as I fall into sin and find myself again under this bondage or this weight of sin, suddenly the Word of God begins to speak to me. Either in song or in the Word or in visiting with my brothers and sisters within this congregation, and I understand my need once again. I need thee every hour. Have you ever prayed something like this? I can't believe I went there again, Father. I can't believe I'm thinking like this. Why am I thinking like this? If I am your child, why do these thoughts run through my mind? Yeah, it shows me my need. You see, my friends, we have a Savior who is so powerful, whose testimony and work speaks powerfully into this age. Our Savior, who bled and died, comes and proclaims to us through His Word, through His servants, the acknowledgement of our sin and the forgiveness of the same. You see, this is what we begin to understand as we go through a song such as this. I need thee every hour. Why do I need him every hour? Because I deal with this flesh all the way through my entire existence every day. And when I lay my pillow on the bed at night, I say, I need thee. And when I wake up in the morning, I need thee. You see, this is what I want you to understand this morning as we look at these few verses that I read for you. It is in Christ and in Him alone that we find our fulfillment and our escape. You see, because very often when I am faced with these temptations and the Word of God begins to flow through my mind and the songs flow as well, I'm able to escape from it. It suddenly isn't so alluring anymore. Suddenly I begin to see the shame in this particular sin, whatever else it might be. I begin to see the futility of ever chasing after that and find that even if I do, there is no benefit, no reward. And my Savior once again expresses to me His forgiveness. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee. I think that's the case, brother. We need Jesus. But let me explain for you something that Paul explains actually who Jesus is. He is everything. He is everything. Listen to what he says here. And of course, I'm jumping into the middle of Paul's thought here, but we don't have time to go through the entire first chapter. But he says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Again, pointing out this fact of us being in Christ, where he says, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You see, wisdom comes from no other place. When the Proverbs speak of wisdom, they personify wisdom. They turn it almost like it's a person, and they describe it in these real lofty terms of wisdom does this and wisdom does that, because it's always pointing to the person of Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom. You see, what you need to understand, brother, and you, sister, over here, you need to understand that your wisdom, your complete understanding and knowledge is found in one person, and that person is Christ. If you don't understand Him, then you have no wisdom. You may understand a lot of things. You may be very knowledgeable in a lot of things, and maybe even in the Bible, but if you don't know Jesus, you have no wisdom. And this is exactly what Paul tells the people of that day. The Greeks, they sought after wisdom. They loved it. They enjoyed wisdom. Paul himself addressed them on Mars Hill because of this very fact. He understood them, so he met them where they were at. Here as well, he meets these people where they were at and tells them, this is where you find wisdom. Wisdom is found not in your great minds, but in Christ. Christ has become for us wisdom. But not only wisdom, but righteousness as well. You see, I just lamented to you up here this morning about my own propensity to sin. And that's true. But let me tell you about one who has made me right before God. I could never do this job. I could never do it if it wasn't for Christ. And that may seem like kind of like a, well, duh, statement. But it becomes more and more evident as I read the Word. I could never do any job in this world really quite right without Christ. No matter where I enter into this life, because as I encounter this world and all of its follies, all of its attractions, all of its sin, all of its stuff, I find no satisfaction there. Because no matter what I do, somehow I'm never measuring up to someone else. Because that's what we do as people in the workplace or wherever else it might be. I say, okay, I'm going to do this job, but I'm going to do it better than so-and-so over there. You know, I'm a carpenter, so I'll compare myself to Lyle or David or whoever else it might be. And then I'll compare myself and say, well, look, I'm better than them. Because that's what we do, right? And you go to school, and it's all the same thing. You compare yourself with grades or wherever else you might be. This is how we measure our standard of living. But do you know before God, all of that simply is junk? Because before God, there's only one thing that makes you right and righteous. It's not your good works. It's not your ability not to sin. It's not any of these things. It's Christ and Him alone. Which is why Paul was driving this home to a divided church in Corinth. He said, let me point you back again to the one thing that makes you right before God. It is Christ. Because in Him is found now my righteousness. It can be found no other place. And so he says, He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. We are set apart as holy. That's all sanctification means. It means to be set apart. When they would sanctify the vessels in the Old Testament worship in the temple, they would sanctify these vessels for the work of God within the temple, the work of the sacrificial work and all of this stuff. They would simply sanctify these vessels, set them apart for that work. Do you realize this morning that in Christ you are set apart for the work of God? You are the sanctified people of God. Which means something for you as you live here in this world. It changes your whole mindset. Or sometimes what we call our world view. It changes. Because we are set apart and we are redeemed. In Christ lies wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We are redeemed. Man, that's good news. We are redeemed. I've told the children a story before about redemption, but here's another one I think that is quite interesting. Do you know that in Minnesota, in the state of Minnesota, if you lose your property to someone, if you lose your property to the bank or even to the state because you either you defaulted on your mortgage or you didn't pay your taxes, you have the right within a certain length of time to redeem that property. That's what they call it, redeeming the property. So this property, which was yours because you had bought it, you had taken a loan or a mortgage, whatever else it might be, suddenly is no longer yours because you were not paying your payments. And so it was taken away from you by the bank. You have the right, if there's some way that you can raise up enough money, you are able to come over there to the bank and say, okay, here's the money. Here's the money. I have all the money built up right here. Here it is for the land. And I'll buy it back. I'll redeem this property. I'll make it mine again. Do you realize, dear listener, that we have been redeemed? Our sinfulness, our sin nature separated us from God. It's as if we were standing here on this little platform here and just wiped us right off. You're all wiped right off of there because of your sin. But except for this, there's no way for you to somehow redeem yourself. not able to come to God and say, you know what, actually, over this a certain amount of years now, I built up enough cash or gold or whatever else it might be. I did just enough good works for you. So here, I'm coming now to buy my section of heaven back. There was no opportunity for us to ever do that. We couldn't redeem ourselves, but God sent Christ to redeem us. And his blood, as it was shed on the center cross of Calvary, became the covering that we needed in order to restore us back to a rightful position before our God and to make heaven our inheritance, and an inheritance which is sure. That's what redemption is. Redemption isn't just some fancy word that preachers use or Christians use in churches. It is the redeeming. It speaks of the complete work of Christ as he dies on the center cross of Calvary, paying the payment in full and rising from the grave on Easter morning, making all of this and giving all of it its power. So who do you need really in this life? I need thee. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Lord, I need thee. Sometimes I don't want you, but I need you. I need you desperately. Because I can't make it on my own. I can't. I like to think I can, but I can't. I need thee. You see, that's the cry of my heart this morning, and I'm not putting on a show, please. Sometimes I feel guilty of that. Do you realize that? I get up here and I get a little emotional, and then I go home and think, "Well, that was kind of silly. Why did I do that?" No, I need him, friends, loved ones. I need this Savior because he has made me everything that I am. I can never stand before my God without him. He has given to me all of these things that I've been speaking of to you this morning. And he's given me forgiveness. We had a seminar here yesterday. Some of you were in attendance, and we talked about confession and absolution, and Brother Nate mentioned it in his prayer as well. I need that as well. I think you do too. It's a wonderful gift that God has given to his church, where people, when they're burdened in their conscience like we sometimes get because of our propensity to sin, we can go to our brother or our sister in Christ or the pastor, as our catechism teaches, and confess to them our need to hear again the absolution. It's a marvelous gift. You don't know how much joy floods my heart when I am in a certain situation. I've had this happen a few times with a few of my brothers within this congregation, where suddenly they come to me and they're looking for my embrace. And they want to hear, once again, the proclamation of absolution, the gospel message. Brother, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and shed blood. It's a powerful message. I've told you this before. Maybe it's been a little while since I've preached on this. But this is a marvelous message that we bring into this world and we proclaim it. There was a convention, I think I told you this before as well, but I've been here long enough, I can tell a few stories over again. But there was a convention in Hancock, Michigan, years ago, I don't even know the year. And God moved powerfully in those services as the ministers were speaking. People were compelled to come up or to stand up and proclaim that, yes, I need the grace of God. Does God have grace for me as a sinner? And the people would proclaim forgiveness, and they left on there on fire, and they went out into the streets, and they began to proclaim to anybody who was walking, hey, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and shed blood, because they understood the power of that message. That's why we teach Christ and Him crucified. That's why Paul says to them, I didn't come to you with a great, magnificent speech. I didn't come to you, he says as in the verses I read, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Which simply speaks to the person of Jesus and His work. He says, this is all I need to know among you. Let me point you to that again, over and over again. His crucifixion speaks to the forgiveness of your sins. Your sins are forgiven, dear brother and sister. You can believe that this morning. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because when Christ is preached and His blood is proclaimed, it has power and it moves in the hearts of people and it stirs them as they begin to hear this message, and the Spirit of God begins to move them toward confession or repentance, because it's completely His work anyway. I remember one time in Ashburnham, we were attending Ashburnham, my wife and I, we had our children were small. And a speaking brother from Florida was up, Unson Tretton, and he was preaching the Word of God, and he was preaching Christ and Him crucified, and my heart moved. I was hanging onto that bench. Because I wanted to leap up and praise God, but I didn't want anybody to think I was strange or crazy. This is the greatest message, my friends. We may not understand all forms of doctrine and teaching. We may not completely understand, you know, baptism, for instance. We may not completely understand all of the teachings of the church as they come out. But if we understand Christ, then guess what the Scripture tells us? We have exactly what we need to know. If we know Christ and Him crucified, and we come up to this altar this morning and partake of His body and His blood and believe that what we receive is in fact that, His body and His blood, then we receive the forgiveness that is offered through it as well. You see, I understand it in this way. When you walk up to this rail this morning, you proclaim just by walking up to this rail your need. If God moves you to confess sin, then by all means confess sin. But just by you walking up to this rail this morning, you acknowledge to your God, it doesn't matter for me or for Raymond or for Jamin or Neil who are serving the communion elements to you. It doesn't matter what we're simply vessels. We pour it out or hand it in, put it into your mouth as we are called to do. But it is God who sees this and sees into your heart and sees your need of Him. And fills you to overflowing. Come freely. Come freely in confession of who you are as a sinner, saved by grace. And receive again this morning the forgiving work of the sacrament as it proclaims to you the same message indeed, that this was for you. This was given for you. And when you believe for you, that means you get what's offered. I have to confess to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, And sometimes I'm a hard-hearted man. And I have harbored hard feelings towards some of you. Perhaps some of you who have opposed me more than others. You know who you are. I've had difficulties in dealing with, I'm not a very good man, and you know that, a lot of you know that. I'm not good at conflict. I stink at it. I clam right up, or else I become very angry inside. I don't show it. People think Dennis never gets mad. It's not true. I get angry, and I harbor it, and I hold it inside here until it burns. And it breaks my heart. Because there's nothing I want more than to come up to each one of you and embrace you as a brother in Christ and say, I love you. I love you tremendously. Each one of you, I love you tremendously because you are a child of God. How could I ever harbor any feelings toward any of you in that way? So I ask you this morning, could you please forgive me? Praise be to God for his miraculous gift. Let's sing, why don't we? Just as I am, 325.